glad you did. Would you do it? All right. Say amen before you hit me. That's the way I like amen. I never did like them for weeks. They take a cut to get up here where I'm preaching. I always like good stout amens. We're glad you're with us tonight. And that you're feeling good in the Lord. And that God is blessing you today. You know, well, I thought about the church last night. Everybody was talking back, you know. When you're preaching, it's easy, it's in my heart. That's right, baby. Amen. I used to have a fellow in my church, and he sat on the front row. And he's the only fellow I've ever seen that ate the gospel. Now, you preach it when women eat it. And he did the right way, and he go. And then every once in a while, he'd get right on the end of the pew. And he'd say, give me another bite, Harry. Amen. And I'll tell you right now, when you get them eating like that, and then I had a fellow, and he'd get on somebody's pet sin, he'd holler, park right there. He had a little mustache. And I'd get on his mustache and holler, put it in overdrive and keep on going, brother. That's all I got. Yes, sir. But we enjoy the good blessings of the Lord. And we're glad that you're with us. Glad the preacher to hear. Let me just mention this tonight. If you're a preacher and you do not get our paper, we wish you'd take a sample copy. Don't cost you a thing, a sample copy of our paper. Comes out every month. If you do not subscribe for it, then we'd be glad to give you a copy. It'll cost you $3 if you subscribe, but it won't cost you anything to get a sample copy. So I hope that you will. We're sending that paper to over 4,500 preachers every month. Nobody but preachers get this paper. 4,500 preachers all over America. Over 300 preachers in California alone receive this paper. Preachers, think about that. Miami, Florida, the wickedest city, I guess, in the country. 26 preachers receive the paper in Miami alone. So that's God is using the paper. And many people are being blessed. Preachers, so if you're a preacher tonight, and you do not get our paper, if you'll come down, we'll be glad to give you a copy. It's not for anybody but preachers. But if you're a preacher, I want you to come on down and pick it up. And I'm sure it will be a blessing. And then I want you to just let go and let God have his way. Amen. You know, God will bless us if we'll just let go and let him have his way. They were singing a while ago about being sorry that we didn't give more. You know, I pray many times we don't give more. Do you know that? God's blessed us with so much, but we don't give much.
That's right.
I mean, when I lived up in Greenwood, I had a fellow that went around with me, and he's called Ham Jackson, and he was a photographer. Now, nobody ever went to sleep when I was preaching. He had a big old camera, and he had a light on, you know, and he'd come down and sit on the front. And if I called anybody nodding in my church when I was preaching, I'd holler, Ham! And he'd jump up and say, where are you? And he'd snap for pictures, and he's afraid to go sleep. I'll tell you what's the truth. Sir, I told him if I ever caught a deacon sleeping, we'd take his picture and charge $1 a piece for sleeping deacons.
Hey, look, you know that, Gil. That picture.
But Ham would go around with me, and I remember one time we went to Union, South Carolina. Little church had just started, and I told him going over, I said, Ham, how much money do you have? Now, Ham was like I said. He liked a lot of preachers don't. I don't fall out with them if they don't. But I like foot-long hot dogs, onions, you know, and chili. After I get through preaching, I'd say, Ham, let's mean you stop over here and get us a foot-long hot dog. He'd say, hey, man, that sounds good, Brother Mays. So we're going down the road, and I said, Ham, how much money you got? He said, I got $4 or something. He said, we'll buy 10. No, bless God, if you don't preach all night. And so we went over there and that night to preaching. The pastor met me. By the way, Brother Floyd Pascal, who was here last night, used to pastor that church. But anyway, I met the pastor from you. Go out and Alice, no taking off. I said, don't take me on any off. We got enough to get us some hot dogs, and I'm pastor. My church paid me $150 a week, and that's enough for any preacher. And I said, don't worry about anything. We're just... the preacher got up, the idiot. Take off, not for Brother Mays. But then we're going to take an offer for me. And I'm going to sing a song. And said, you're going to wish... that you had to give. And he said, I'm going to take a strange offer. He said, I'm going to take an offer and give every nickel I've got. And he said, if you're back there tonight and you're not willing to give every nickel, don't you come down here. He said, if you've got $100 and you want to give 99, stay back there. But if you give the 100, come on down. And we got to standing. I never thought about it. And he said, I got $22 and something. He dumped all he had out. They got to come down. Boy, got to bless me. Little God said, no, you give what you got that morning.
Well, Lord, I am having supper and I'm hungry. God said, you give that $4. And so we got through singing. He said, well, I'm glad you came. Did you get a blessing? Oh, he said, we'll better do something else. He said, somebody didn't mind God. We'll sing one more stanza. I said, uh-oh, there goes my hot dog. Sing one more stanza. I well, got my pocketbook out and got the change out and threw it on the Bible every bit I had. Lord, don't let Ham get under conviction. If he does, we won't get a hot dog. No, Ham will stand there. His wife in tears. God is a blessing. And we got through, and I said, what? Morning. And Brother Waddell, pastor, said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I said, okay. We're going to sing one more stanza. I thought, Lord, it's a long way from Union to Greenwood, and I'm hungry. We got up and got to sing that last. No hair stood as long as he could. He hollered, whoa, here I come. And hollered, hot dogs or no? What's the truth? We went home and I never felt so full in my life. Hallelujah. Listen, we'll be sorry when we come in the way that we didn't give more. Did you know that? We'll be sorry that we didn't sacrifice a little more for Jesus when we come to the end of the way. My, how we ought to give. How that the Lord bless us. I enjoyed all the good singing tonight. I tell you, it's a wonder to think about what God's done for us. You think about what God did for us. Dug you out of the mire and dug me out of the mire. Put us on the rock. Hallelujah. That's something, isn't it? Amen. Put us on the road to torment. Put us on the road to heaven. Oh, I tell you. I'm glad it took me out of the praise the Lord. Hey. Yes, sir. God is my Father. Jesus, my elder brother. And I'm glad the Holy Ghost is my carpenter. And the devil's not even my 42nd. Amen. Hey. I got out of his family now. God's blessing. We're glad you're with us tonight. God bless you. Glad to see the preachers. Glad to see Brother Cooper. And God bless them. Now, here we're going to get down to business here in a minute. Always on Friday night. Fellow said to me, well, it's football night. You know what I told him? I told him back in the playing a while ago. If I thought they had more down to the football game, we got we'd go to the football game. So we got to the football game. Go. I hear the devil say, well, you know. And enjoying God's blessings. Isn't it good? We can rejoice. Now, we're going to leave the lights on all night tonight. They're not going to cut off. Here's what I'm going to do. How many of you? We'll start at 10 o'clock tonight because I may preach to 10. How many of you? We need two people to pray from 10 to 11 here in the altar. How many of you say, well, we're two. Say, I'll take 10 to 11, Brother Nate. Hold up your hand. Let's get them right quick like. We got to get these folks to pray, all right? You two will take 10 to 11. Who'll take 11 to 12? You'll take 11 to 12. All right, you relieve these folks at 11. And who'll take 12 to 1? One to two in the morning. And pray here at the altar. Let's keep on. Who'll take a 1 to 2? Anybody quickly? Let's get these out. Come on now. We have the Bible. Let somebody pray. It's all right. Let's get out of business, brother. We're going to keep these lights on all night long. Who'll take from 1 to 2? Right quickly. You say, well, I'm going to go home, Steve. I'm going to pray for God. And, man! Why do you all pray? See, I got to work tomorrow. Praise God, if you pray about half the night, you... That's right. All right, who'll pray for 1 to 2? Preacher, I'll pray for 1 to 2. Hold up your hand. If you're a minister, you can still come here at the altar and pray for 1 to 2. All night long. Anybody, say, preacher, I'll take from 1 to 2. In the morning. Come on, then you can go home. We'll let you go home at 2 o'clock and go to bed. Anybody take 1 to 2, hold up your hand. From 1 to 2. Who'll take from 2 to 3? Hold up your hand. Anybody take from 2 to 3? All right. Anybody? All right. We'll get Brother Stanson to take from 2 to 3. Who'll take? Hold up your hand. We need some prayer. Pray folks around here now for this meeting. Who'll take from 3 to 4 in the morning? Want some folks to come out here and pray? You know, hot dogs. And you find out who loves to come to church. And you about singing, you find out who loves singing. You talk about singing, you find out who loves. You talk about praying all night, you'll find out who loves the Lord. Did you know that? Amen. Come on, smile. Some of you look like your mother-in-law moved in and live with you. Hallelujah. Let's get happy. What was that you got? From 2 to 3. 4. All right, hold up your hand. All right, two of you ladies get together and come on back up here from 3 to 4 and pray. What do you mean? Can get together. Come up here. 3 to 4. You'll miss a blessing if you don't do it. If you never prayed all night, you'll miss a blessing. We have all night service in Atlanta on the last Sunday before Labor Day. Sunday before Labor Day, we have all night service. This year, we have the all night service. At 4 o'clock in the morning, at the old church, they're running the aisles and shouting and running up. And if you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning, now you think you couldn't get a horse to be better than this on day something. The aisles were filled, the vestibule, and you couldn't get a seat. Still at 2 o'clock in the morning in Atlanta, Georgia, in a tremendous church.
People come, we want
God.
Morning.
At 7:30, we were real praising God, and there were more people there. And surely, if we're willing to do that in Atlanta, stay all night, that we find a couple of people. Our three people will come from 3 to 4, 4 to 5, right on. Hold up your hand. Let me see. Anybody come from 3 to 4, and let's get in here tonight. All right.
I'll take it.
All right. You'll take it. Who'll take it from 4 to 5? Who'll take it from 4 to 5? Come in the morning, 4 o'clock. You set your alarm clock about 4 to 4, and come on up here and relieve the preacher. Anybody take it from 4 to 5?
Real good. We're gonna pray all night.
We're gonna pray all night. Would you do it? 4 to 5 in the morning. Hold up your hand. Let me see. You'll take it from 4 to 5. Right here at the altar and pray. We want to get. I tell you, God bless you. We'll do by it. Oh, my. We've seen things happen in this meeting you haven't seen Horse Creek Valley in 20 years. And God's moved in. And why? Because we've been praying. Who'll take it from what was it? Yeah. 4 to 5? Who'll take from 4 to 5? Real quick, like. All right. 4 to 5. Who'll take from 5?
Yeah.
Who'll take from 5 to 6? 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
All right. Who'll take from 6 to 7? Will you take 6 to 7 in the morning, ladies? Yes. All right. Who'll take from 6 to 7? All right, who'll take from 6 to 7? Let's get that quick line. Out, you can set your clock, 4 to 6. Come on up here. Amen. Don't you leave. Now, if somebody oversleeps, you have to pray 2 hours in. Hallelujah. We don't want anybody to leave. Anybody take from 6 to 7? Right quick, like, hold up your hand. Oh, I know there's somebody. Everybody else will take that time. Mine. 6 to 7. Seek the Lord early in the morning. You ought to pray that way every morning. Sometimes I wake up 5 o'clock. Spend that, all right, 6 to 7. Who'll take from 7 to 8? Saturday morning, all right?
Yeah.
Thank you, back. Who'll take from 8 to 9 in the morning? Come up here from 8 to 9 and pray. Let's see your hand. Anybody? All right?
Yeah.
All right. Who'll take from 9 to 10? Hold up your hand. You come into church and pray from 9 to 10 in the morning. Let's see your hand. We want to get 12 hours of prayer. All right, who'll do that?
Anybody
back there? Say, Brother Mays, I'll come and I'll stay from 9 to 10 tomorrow. Would you hold up your hand? You'll see something around you tomorrow night and Sunday. I'll tell you, you've never seen it. We need one more. Now come up here tomorrow between 9 and 10. Forget about your groceries. Forget about everything. Come on up here. Anybody? 9 to 10 tomorrow. You say, what have you got to pray about? Pray about Brother Mays. Bless God. You forget about everything. Just say, Lord, bless old Brother Mays. And then say, Lord, bless old Brother Mays. I won't be able to preach. Just run up down the house. Amen? We need one more from 9 to 10. Right quick, like, let me get that. All right. Thank you, ma'am. All right. Now don't forget your times. Church, have this prayer meeting. I was telling you about the all-night service in Atlanta. Let me just say this. Next year you plan to come. You've never been anything like it. You've never seen anything move in the city of Atlanta. At 4 o'clock in the morning, Tim Fortenberry, from up here in North Carolina, was a preacher. And his hair got down his eye. And they got to shout at 4 o'clock in the morning. Folks shouting, millionaires are shouting. Chief of police grabbed me around the neck. Me and him went round and round. You say, Lord, have mercy. Can you get the chief if he gets right with God? He'd shout at me.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right. Oh, we have a time. You plan. Now, used to, I'd speak first. In other words, I'd speak first at 7:30 at night when we start the meeting, and then I'd preach
in the morning.
And about 4 years ago, we started it out. There's a lady who got out in her car. She was coming to the meeting that night. She lived in Avondale, which is right there near the church. And she got out and she stepped on a starter. What did you Spanish day? And she didn't know what to do, so finally she kept trying to get something done. So about 8 o'clock, she actually got there about 8:15. She said, run me to Glen Haven Baptist Church. They're having an all-night I said, you mean you're going to stay all night late? She said, that's right, brother. I extended it all night long. He said, by the way, when do you get off? He said, well, I just went to work, so I get off in the morning at 8. She said, that's good. About 6:30 or quarter to 7. He said, about a quarter to 7. He said, you come after me in the morning. And said, well, lady, if I go back up there and tell the men I've been working for at this taxi stand, up at the office, and you're going to stay all night and I'm coming back here, they'll never believe you're going to stay all night. She said, I don't care whether they believe it or not. You tell them that I'm going to stay here all night to church and for you to come after me in the morning. He said, they won't believe. They pulled up out in front of the church and she said, by the way, it's 8:25 and Brother Mason's already preaching. Have you ever seen Brother Mason? He said, no. I heard him on the radio. He said, come up to the vestibule. We'll push some people back. I want you to see him. So he got out and came up and he looked, and the next morning, as soon as I should have for the last service, and I was preaching and he was outside the window that moment, and he thought, well, I'll just get up and go and see if they're still having church. And he got up and came and looked in the door and he scratched his head and he said, Lord have mercy, they didn't believe me when I told them that woman was going to stay all night, but when I go back and tell them old Jackson's been preaching for 12 hours and he's calling down, he said, I know they won't believe that. Hallelujah. So we can enjoy the great blessings of the Lord. Now, let me say, if you have the first week in January off, I'll mention this. We're having a preacher's meeting. There at Glen Haven Baptist Church, there'll be between 300 and 400 preachers that'll get there for the great church. Now, anybody can come, but it's 6 services a day. And we'll have 2 services in the morning, 2 services in the afternoon, 2 services at night. And they'll be preaching and shouting on the hills over there. And if you've never been in one of those services, we have it the first week in January. I hope that you'll plan to be with especially preachers. My, how preachers need to be fed. How preachers need to be stirred. Oh, it's a blessing. So you keep that in mind. We'll have a great time. Now let me say this and I'll get right in the message. Tomorrow night, Saturday night, don't you miss it. You come. If you miss it, you're going to miss a real blessing. And then Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, I'm going to bring the same message I brought over in Columbia in the camp meeting on Sunday afternoon when I preached on God's answer to Vietnam. Now you be with us. You come and let's have a great time. Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, I'm speaking on God's answer to Vietnam. Do we have any mother or dad here tonight that has a boy in service? Hold up your hand or two. All right. We have 1, 2, we have 3. And they have sons in the service. Sunday afternoon, we'll honor them, give them special seats. Do we have a young lady here tonight? And your husband's in the service. Hold up your hand. Let's see. Any of you? All right. Do we have a boy or girl here, a man or woman here? And your brother is in the service. Hold up your hand. Let's see. All right. Good. We'll honor you, and you'll come down and sit down here. Now, how many young boys do we have in the service? I don't believe you have them here tonight. We had 2 last night. We'll honor them here at the front Sunday afternoon when I preach on God's answer to Vietnam. Now listen, after I finish preaching Sunday afternoon, we want first of all the service to come and kneel right around this communion table. And then we want mothers and dads who've got boys in the service to come and kneel. And then we want the sisters and the brothers and the wives to come and kneel. And then all the preachers to come and kneel and pray for those boys that are over there in Vietnam and the men that are in service. Brother, in all of our lives, need to pray for them these days. We need to pray for those boys. They're eating mud. They're drinking blood. And they're being shot all to pieces. And nobody seems to care. I was in Savannah last year in the meeting. And I got ready to go up in the church on Saturday night. And when I got ready to go in the church, a little mother was crying. And I stepped over and she said, Brother Mays? I said, yes. This is Preacher Mays. She said, Brother Mays. She said, I want you to meet my boy. And there's a great big handsome Marine. Bible stuck under his arm. And I said, God bless you. And she said, he's going to Vietnam tomorrow. Or Monday. She said, tomorrow you can come to church. And then he's leaving for Vietnam. And she said, Brother Mays, I'm so worried about him. I said, let me ask you 2 questions. And I said, first, do you know you're saved? Big old tears came in his eyes. And he said, Brother Mays, I can take you to the place. I can tell you the time the Lord saved me by his marvelous grace. I said, son, that's half of it. I said, secondly, do you believe you're doing what God wants you to do? He said, I know I am, preacher. He said, I know I am. I said, mother, don't worry. I said, it's not a bump big enough. There. I said, I'd rather have God's will in Vietnam than to be out here on the streets of Savannah, Georgia, out of God's will. Hadn't you? Why, God can take care of those boys. I'm glad my father owns it all, and he's all powerful. And so you'll want to hear the scripture. Sunday afternoon on God's answer. there to Vietnam. I'll give you that answer until you be sure to come. Now let's take your Bibles and turn tonight if you have your Bible to Judges chapter 16. I want to read you a verse of scripture, then you write in the message tonight. Judges chapter 16, if you have your Bible, we'll read together, and then we'll bring you the message. Let me say this also. I have some of the pictures. I'll have mine for the service tonight. It's just a few left. If you did, how many of you got one the other night? Hold up your hand. Let's see it. All right? If you got one, I don't have to say anything else. But this is one of the most beautiful pictures ever finished. I have about maybe 10. If you'd like one, you see me after the service. Let me just say this about them. They cost you $4.98 in the state of Atlanta. If you buy it in a frame, the frame costs $1. The picture costs $3.98 in Rich's department store in downtown Atlanta. If you know anything about Atlanta, you know about Rich's department store, the big department store there. Now, this is not drawn. It's not colored. You say, what do you mean? It's in four colors, but it wasn't made that way. Let me tell these folks that wasn't here just a little about it. You see this right here? It starts off in the beginning with the Word was with God, and all this picture is the 21 chapters in the Gospel of John. There's not a mark here. Even the crease here is not marked. His hand, he needs to change colors of his pencil. And it's just the Gospel of John. There's not one little mark, one little color on it. It says down here, all the things were written, were contained, would not contain the books. Now notice, it says, for God so loved the world, that is not drawn there. It just changed colors, that's all. It took him 10 years in the concentration camp. And if you want to go to Atlanta, you can pay $4.98 for it. After the service, you'll see me and pick up things. I won't want to hang up in my house. It's just the Word of God, not a scratch on it. All it is the Word. You take it, and I'll give it to you for an offering. You say, I don't have an offering. I'll give it to you anyway. One free thing. Now, the only thing I can do better is give you an offering going on with the picture. Isn't that right? But you be sure to see me after the service, and I know that you'll enjoy the picture. Now, take your Bible. In Judges chapter 16, I want to read a few verses of Scripture, and then bring you a message tonight in something I saw, and that, the Bible is always fresh. Amen? Oh, praise God. Always, you read something, it's just that. And, you read the Bible time and time again, read it again, and it'll jump out. Oh, it's blessed. The night my daddy died, or the morning, or the night before my daddy died in the morning. As I told you the other night, my mother read the 23rd Psalm. It'd been there all those years. And as my mother read, the Lord is my shepherd. I never was, she said, thee, Lord. Oh, it'd been there always like that, but it never did grasp. Oh, this old book will just jump out at you. And here's something about Samson I've never seen before. If you have your Bible, I want you to read with me, please. In Judges chapter 16, beginning with verse 23. And then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their God, and to rejoice, for they said, our God had delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. Now let me give you something here. Brother, when you're right with God, you're enemy to the devil's pride. And they'll know it. They'll know it. Somebody said to me, why, Brother Mays, preacher's supposed to be popular. I don't know where you get that stuff. He's not supposed to be popular with the devil's crying. Amen. All preachers today, you know what most preachers are for? Psychiatrists and taxi drivers run around with a bunch of sugar tips in their pockets and give them out to members. That's not God. God's man is to preach the word. Did you know that?
Amen.
He's not to run around and pacify a bunch of members. Why, he's to preach the word. And the Bible said that we know that Samson's our enemy. Why, the church isn't so much in love with the world, and the world so much in love with the church today. Why, they're not enemies anymore. But here they recognize an enemy. Now notice, when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God had delivered unto our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. I want you to underscore these words, that he may make us sport. In other words, he became a laughingstock. They mocked him and they ridiculed him. They said, why? They said, we'll make fun of you now. Did you know that's what the devil's crap's doing to the average church member tonight? Making fun of us. Making fun of the house of the Lord. And he said, well, bring him up here and call Samson that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillows. Now, I don't have time. The next verse tells you about the lad, tells you about the great story of how Samson slew more in his death than he did when he lived. But I want you to notice it said, and they brought him out, and he made them sport. Every head bowed, every eye closed, all of the house. And in just a moment, I'm going to bring you the message on how the devil. May the life and stock out of you while your head's about, beloved. Oh, listen, in these days, beloved, if we've ever needed to stand for Jesus and the Bible and God, it's in these days. I wonder while your head's about, your eyes are closed. How many say, preacher, I want you to remember me tonight. I'm not right with God. Maybe you're here and you're backslid. Or maybe you're here and you've never been saved. Whatever your spiritual temperature or condition is tonight, if you're not right with God, hold up your hand and be said, hi. Let me see. God bless you there. Amen. As the Lord speaks your heart, hold up your hand. If you're not right with God, hold up your hand and be said, oh, God's speaking in your heart. Hold it up. Here's another. Here's another. God bless you. Amen. Keep praying, saints. God's moving. He has every night. My waves of glory come in. I praise God for it. Is there another? Brother Mays, I'm not right with God. I want you to remember me in prayer. Lift up your hand. God bless you there. I see God bless you there. God bless you here. I see those hands. God speaking. Is there another? I'm not right with God. Pray for me. Hold up your hand. Is there one more? Last time I asked you, thank God for these eraser hands. But beloved, don't be left out. Hold up your hand. Is there another? Well, I'll wait just a moment. Let me see your hand. Is there another anywhere in the house? Last time I asked you, I'm coming over to pray. Let me see your hand anywhere. All right, let us pray. Father, we're grateful tonight, Lord, that you've blessed us. Oh, God, we're so glad that we can come again into the house of the Lord and that we can dismiss from our minds the cares of life and the things that would hinder and that we can meditate upon the precious word of God. Oh, I pray that you'll speak tonight. Oh, God, may we recognize that the devil would like to make a laughing stock. And the devil would like to laugh at us. And the devil would like to poke fun at the child of God. I pray that you'll help us to be great warriors and giants for Jesus. Oh, Lord, that we might walk head and above, shoulders above the devil's cloud. Bless, we pray now, and save these that lift their hands. And reclaim those out of fellowship with God. And we'll thank thee. Bless Brother Cliff. We'll thank you for him tonight, Lord. Oh, God, I'm so glad that you blessed him this week in the meeting. Bless these other preachers, our Father, that are here with us tonight. And we'll thank you for all that's accomplished. Because it's in Jesus' name. And for Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Amen. Beloved, I want to speak to you tonight on the subject, has the devil made a laughing stock out of you? And let me say this tonight, before, beloved, I would become a laughing stock. And I trust before I bring a reproach on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd rather die. I'd rather leave this whole world than someday the devil say, I told you. Like the rest of them. I'd rather die, brother, go on to heaven to be with my Lord. But the scripture said, and they made sport out of Samson. It is sad to see this man, a man called Samson, becoming a laughing stock and a ridicule before the people. Look at old Samson. You say, preacher, was he strong? Not physically. He wasn't a physical giant. I believe his strength was in the secret of the power of the Holy Spirit. My Bible said it's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. And we can have power, brother. We may not be physically great, but we can have power when the Spirit of God comes upon us. And notice, it wasn't in his hair. I used to think, brother, that Samson had power in his hair. The hair was the symbol of his separation and dedication to God. And I want to say to you here tonight, brother, we need separation and dedication to God Almighty. And finally, it was not in his training. You know what we're trying to do? We're trying to train people. And I told him the other day that most of us are going out here and they're putting out preachers like broomheads. But bless your heart, if you're going to preach, you've got to have two things. You say, preacher, what are they? First of all, you've got to have a good case of old-fashioned backwoods, Jericho rock bottom, washed in the blood salvation. Your man can stand in the pulpit, brother, and preach the gospel. At first, he hadn't been saved. And the second thing he needs a fall from heaven. A man has no business holding this Bible and this precious word of God with fleshly hands unless God called him to preach the word of God. And so this man Samson, he had physical training, but that wasn't it. And you say, preacher, what happened? The devil got him in a trap and made a lot of Paul said the snares of the devil. And brother, the devil would like to catch you in his little trap tonight. And then secondly, the devil got him to go to sleep. Did you know that the average Christian tonight has been rocked to sleep in the devil's little cradle, and they're sleeping in my Bible said, wake thou that sleepest. And it's a sad day when the church goes to sleep. And then number three, the Bible says that they took Samson and put him in the prison house and then brought him up the main fort. He lost his testimony. Was he the great Samson, the judge of Israel? But if you've got your pencils in hand, I want you to tell him four things, and then we'll let you go home. First of all, how did he lose his power of God? You say, preacher, how did Samson lose the great strength of God that was upon him? Number one, he got too close to the world, and he got too friendly with the scissors in the hands of Delilah. Now I want to tell you, Mr. ladies and gentlemen, tonight, when the church gets too friendly with the world, she's going to lose her power. And you take the average church member tonight, they're in and out and up and down until you can't tell where the church begins and the world ends, brother. We're living in a pitiful state. We're living in an awful age. But the Bible says, and she took her scissors. I never will forget, years ago, my little boy came in my room. He's a big boy now. All my boys are large. Knocked on the door and I said, come in. And today I want you to tell me another Bible story. I said, all right, come over here. My wife had just been sewing. She had her scissors. I said, come here, I want to show you. And I took those scissors. I said, I want you to look someday. You'll see these scissors. The same scissors that cut off the hair of Samson. But I said they might have looked like this. Then I told him, I said, son, the scissors of the world in the hand of Delilah can rob the church of its power, and can rob the preacher of its power, and can rob the deacons of their power. And I told him, I said, you see these scissors? They're real small. One day Samson was going to I like this about Samson. The Bible said when he was a young man, he was in the camp of Dan, and the Holy Ghost came upon him, and he danced around in the spirit. That would scare some of these old rawhide Presbyterians and some of these highbrow Baptists and scare them to death, brother. In the camp of Dan, when the Spirit of God came upon him, really, when you get home, the Bible said old Samson had a dancing spell. Praise God, because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. I used to have a Presbyterian with me. Baptist was the driver. Come on, horse beat Baptist. Bless God, they wouldn't shout. Now I brought me a Presbyterian, had a harp, and he'd pluck it. He'd dance around while I was a preaching. He'd get up, and he'd grab that harp, and he'd sing in heaven tonight with the Lord. But he'd play that old harp, and he'd take those strings, and he'd come around, praise God. Some of them come up to me, little pop. Members, some of these little fundamental Baptists and Southern Baptists and Bible college kids said, now, brother, you're going to ruin yourself. I said, don't you worry, bless God. That old man's got the Holy Ghost on him. He's a Presbyterian. And I said, I'm not worried about the fundamentalist. I said, you're Southern Baptist. And I'm Bible college. I said, I want the Holy Ghost on me. And I don't care what it has done me. Around, and a lady came down to me one night. She said, Brother Mace, she said, I want to ask you something. Why don't you leave that Presbyterian? I said, bless God, you Baptists. I said, I have to get a Presbyterian to do me shouting. And I want to tell you something. Oh, Samson had the Spirit of God upon him, and he shouted by the tree, and he was the same of God, and he danced all around him there. Now, glory to God. One day, he went down in the vineyard. And the Bible, you talk about good, God bless him, and he's eating those grapes. As he's eating those grapes, a lion said, oh. And he said, oh, a lion, huh? And said, Mom, Pa's coming down the road. Said, the Bible says, honor your father and your mother. And old Samson just rolled up his sleeves, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Listen! Said, Brother Mace, what did he do? He didn't go get a lion tamer. Bless God, he didn't go down to the zoo and say, a lion's loose. He said, old boy, if you come here, I'll tear your jaws asunder. And bless God, he ripped him to pieces and threw his carcass on the ground and went on down the road. And I love the other night. Oh, listen, I got such a blessing. I heard a country preacher preach. You know, let me ask you to do something. If you know good English, don't let it cramp you from enjoying other. My wife got the highest degree, the highest grade in English she can get in college. A plus. There's nobody better. She knows all the ins, the preposition names. But I'm not Dr. R.G. Lee years ago. He said, bless God, when I'm going to hear a preacher preach. say, I have saw and see something, than to hear one say, I have seen and see nothing. Now, he said, hallelujah, I want to see and see nothing. Now, there's God that I go to hear and preach, hallelujah. But you know, I went to hear this preacher preach. I slipped out in the mountain. He didn't know who I was. He went to somebody told him, said, Mays Jackson's in the congregation. It might have scared him to death. But out of his walking, he's preaching about old Samson coming back over there. And he said, now, this is good. I didn't know there was a word like this. But it's good. Now, you may not know what he's talking about. But he said, old Samson came back, and he rocked in. Woo! Boy, that blessed me. He didn't say he reached in. He said he rocks in. Can go there. Tell you something, bless God, it's better when you rot in your hand. Look here to the hand. I want you to see further. But the hand of Delilah and the sisters of Delilah had more power than the mind of the first. Now I said to my little boy, said, son, here's something else. They came 1,000 Philistines. My what a sight it was to behold. And they circled old Samson and they said, we're going to kill you. And old Samson didn't look for a machine gun. He didn't call LBJ. And bless God, the Bible said he saw a donkey. A donkey's bone. A jawbone of a donkey. You know what he did? He took that old donkey as the jawbone had been bleached in the sun. And he held it up and he said, Spirit of God, come on me. And boy, you talk about the Bible. He slew 1,000 Philistines. I want to tell you something, that's power. Thousand single-handed, but you know the hand of Delilah and the scissors of Delilah had more power than 1,000 Philistines. And then he went down to Gaza, and while he was in Gaza, the Bible says they locked the gates at midnight. Samson got up and came out, put his hands on the red pillars of the gate of Gaza, and the Bible said he picked up the gates, put them on his shoulders, marched over to the hillside, threw them over down the hill. I see him wipe his hands and glory to God. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And brother, let me tell you something. But you say, preacher, man, what happened when he lost the power? Because when he got in the lap of Delilah, and he took the scissors of the world, she called up his head and lost his testimony. What a sad thing it is. Number two tonight. I want you to notice this. What? Oh, we have to pay when he lost his power. I'll tell you tonight, I love the fire. Yeah, it's better all the time. I love it. I was getting on an airplane up in Pennsylvania the other night, 3 weeks ago. I had a big jet, Boeing. 2 or 3 years ago, I was late getting over there. They read me up and I ran off. I got on that airplane, I sat down, and there's a new stewardess. I know all the stewardess on these airlines, Eastern and Delta. And United, all these Piedmont, I know almost all of them. I fly them every week. And so, I went in, I sat down, I was tired, another lady came over, and she said, how do you do? I said, amen. That amen, like we choked her death. Bless God, you know airplane stewardess can't take an amen. Scared some of these Baptists today. Now I sat down with my little briefcase, she thought I was a doctor. And she looked at me and she said, your name and your destination? I said, my name's Jackson and I'm headed for heaven. Hallelujah. Woo! And she looked at me and she said, what did you say? I said, my name's Jackson and I'm headed for heaven. She said, I hope you don't go tonight, brother. That's all I know. Yes, sir. He didn't want that airplane to fall. I want to tell you just as sure as you're here, I like power. It wasn't long till that old big jet airline went out to the end of the runway and the captain said, ladies and gentlemen, 57 minutes flying time from here to Atlanta, 700 miles. And he said, a nice flight tonight. And brother, 55 minutes after we left the ground in Pittsburgh, that old big hot airplane started down in Atlanta, Georgia. And as it started down, the Holy Ghost said to me, said, you think this is fire? But God said, the Spirit of God begins to hover and begins to brood over the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what's the truth. Many people have never seen revival. Why, it scare half the people to death. If God were the center of hell, of old time religion, people can't stand it. Yeah, I love it. I hope it gets you good. I like it. You just fall here around here. And it's so good. I just go see. You say, oh, I've never seen a meeting like that. Well, bless God, you ought to get in it. It's good. And the pastor tried to get up, and he started.
like say something, God knocked him down. And he just sat there, and we sat there for 2 hours. And there's a crying and screaming all over my house and getting right with God. Why are you sad, Father? It's a visitation of the Holy Ghost. That's what it was. And brother, let me say this tonight. The church will never have revival. You'll never get people saved until the Spirit of God comes upon them. And we lose that power. Brother, we're losing every now and then. You say, preacher, what did you lose? Oh, what happened to it? Preacher Nash, what happened? First of all, he lost his eyesight. They took a red hot poker in this eye. And blood and matter and they took a red hot poker and this eye and blood and matter came down. My Bible said where there is no vision, the people perish. Let me say this, when you lose your vision here, you're going to be lost as far as having any power of God's concern. You got to keep your vision out there. You got to rescue the perishing. Care for the dying, snatch them from sin and pit in the grave. So he lost his vision. You know, he probably said it couldn't happen to him. I remember years ago, a little boy out west, he wasn't all up here. He was mentally retarded. And you know what he'd do? He'd see a car coming and he'd wave that car pretty close to run out and hide his face, and the car throw brakes and skid right up next to him. And he'd look up and say, I know you couldn't hit me. I know you couldn't hit me. And his mother'd come out and wear him out and say, won't you ever get out to him? One of these, oh, he said, it can't happen to me. It always stopped, mama. It can't happen to me. And one day the little boy was waiting and he saw a car coming over the hill. And just before it got to him, he ran out and and they picked him up and carried him to the hospital dying. And on the way to the hospital in the ambulance, he kept saying, mama, I don't know who you are, whether you're a preacher or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher, but the devil has got to rise. If he can, he'll make a laughing stock out of you tonight as sure as you hear him. Number two, then he lost his freedom. I'm glad I'm free tonight. The Bible says, yes, son, set you free. You're free indeed. The freedom that we have. Jesus, brother, it's a blessed thing to be free. Like I told you the other night, I think it was, the preaching had a man came to me the other night, said, Brother Mays, he said, you know, a board checks my sermons. He said, my deacons check my sermons, and I can't preach unless the deacon check my sermons. He said, I wish I could preach like you. I said, well, I got a board checks my sermons. He said, you do? I said, yes, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Hey, praise God. They check these sermons. But just as sure as you are here, brother, listen, you don't have to be bound. You don't have to give account to anyone but the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost. But just as sure as we're here, brother, a lot of people have lost their freedom tonight. Samson lost it. And the Bible said he was bound with fetters. Chained with fetters. And the third thing he lost, my friend, he lost his testimony. And that's the saddest thing in the world. When I was ordained many years ago as an old cripple preacher that came and laid his hands on my head, and he said, I want you to know, Mace Jackson, if I thought you'd ever deny old-time religion or go back on God, I'd never lay these hands on you. And boy, I felt a fire. I was at the Calvary Baptist Church at home. Buddy Mullinex is pastor. By the way, if you know Buddy, he'll be over here with Brother Floyd in a meeting. You ought to hear Buddy. He's a great preacher. But Buddy, he was in that big Calvary Baptist. And now they don't have Baptist, but they used to. And I was ordained there. That old preacher laid his hands on me. He said, Brother Mays, I'm going to pray the Holy Ghost on you. Why, you say, why, Brother Mays? I don't want that. Well, bless God, that's weak. He said, Dad, maybe you don't want it. Hallelujah. Yeah. I said, Lord, let him pray anything on me. Hallelujah. And he laid his hands on my head and prayed. And something went all the way through me, the tip of my toes. And I want to tell you, bless God, I've been happy ever since. I've been shouting the victory and praising the Lord and preaching for 26 years the glorious gospel of the Son of God. What a blessing it is, Mr. Oh, to have a testimony. I want my neighbors to know that I love Jesus. I want my friends to know that I love Jesus. I want the airlines to know that I love Jesus. Oh, I want people to know that I'm an old-time Christian. Samson paid the price for all these things. Now, here's the third thing tonight, and that's this. Beloved, why did he want his power back? I want to give you three reasons why he wanted it back. You
You say, preacher, why? First of all, for his own sake. For his own sake. For himself. For himself. He wanted it. Let me tell you something. If you ever get a taste of this good way of serving God, if you ever get over and get you some honey, you'll never be satisfied with these old dead programs. You'll never be satisfied, brother, with these women squealing in a choir. You know, I can't be right. But bless God, I have to hear some of these women try to sing. And the choir squealing, you can't understand what she's singing. I hear a preacher get up and he's afraid to raise his eyebrow. I tell you, when I go to church, I like to greet them. As the old fellow said on the mountain, and rock him and get some. That's what I like. I like to just get in there, bless God, and get some. But you know, you're going to lot of oh, but listen, if you ever get a taste of it, you'll never be satisfied back with the onions and the beans. And back on it, bless God, if you ever cross over Jordan and the Canaan's battle in and get some of that honey. I was preaching one night, a lady came to me and she said, Brother Nance, after the church, she said, what's that comes out the corner of your mouth while you're preaching? I said, lady, that's honey from Canaan's land. I said, I'm eating. I'm a fountain that never runs dry. Praise God. I said, I've been over there. Is this the land of Beulah? Ooh, you talk about it'll make you love pepper pie. Thank God. Thank God. It'll make you shout when you don't even feel like shouting. When you go to the land of Beulah. But oh, you say, preacher, my listen, I'm glad I got you. Old-fashioned way back down there, and I wouldn't be satisfied in no other place. I wouldn't be satisfied in no other church. I wouldn't be satisfied right back down there in the streamlined crowd. You say, well, why am I? Bless God. I do the same thing I'm doing tonight. I just rear back and let her fly. Hallelujah. Hand me a time. That's right. Yes, sir, just as sure as you're here. We need to get to the place where we'll be the same. But oh, if you ever get a taste of serving God in the old-fashioned way, you'll never be satisfied. Going back to the things that are mediocre, back to the streamlined crowd of the world. Now, only secondly, for others' sake, beloved, he wanted the power of God back on him. Somebody needed him. When he walked through the camp, the mothers could hang out their clothes and think God sent him to you. The little boys and girls could play. They were not afraid of the Philistines. As long as Samson was there. But when he lost his power and they got down his eyes, they were afraid. Oh, the people shook in their boots, brother. Let me say this to you tonight. As certain as you are here, somebody needs your testimony. Somebody needs you, brother. Going on. There may be a weak Christian. And you stand for God. I used to have a little midget in my church. And this is wrong. Don't ever get put your image. If you do, you'll be sorry. Don't ever get your eyes on a preacher. He's no better than anybody else. Except you ought to honor him as your pastor. And he's got a special place as a pastor. Or you ought to honor him back. But I had a lady in my church. And she wanted to come to our house. And she was about 40 years older than me and my wife. But she was a little midget. And she'd come to our house. And she'd eat our table. And we'd have a preacher up in a chair. And so she could eat. And she'd sit there and tears would come out of her eyes. And she'd say, Brother Mays, don't you ever backslide. Oh, she said, Brother Mays, if you ever backslide, I'll backslide too. I said, what have you got, Mays Jackson religion? She said, I guess I have. I said, you better get the blood-bought kind that comes from Calvary, lady. I said, you better not have preacher religion. And I want to tell you, it's dangerous business. When people get preacher religion, our church religion, you better get the blood-bought kind out of Calvary. And that's the only kind that's going to stand. Oh, somebody needs it. You better walk straight. Somebody needs you. You better stand high. Somebody needs you. You better be brave. You know, I had this to happen to me. I don't usually tell things like this, but I want to tell you this. I had this to happen. One of the largest Baptist churches in the city of Atlanta. Doctor, and I won't tell you who he is. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised if I tell you who he is. He saw my boy, the oldest boy, and he said, Lord, he said, I want to tell you something. He said, I don't agree with your daddy on a lot of things. He said, I don't agree with your daddy on his stand on a lot of things. But he said, you tell your daddy for Jesus' sake and the Bible's sake and for God's sake, stay in the same old Christian way that he's been. Because I've never been in that way, but I looked amazed. My boy said, you mean to say you look to my daddy? He said, I never miss him on the radio. He said, I wouldn't let the big denominational boys know that I listen for nothing. But he said, I want you to know you tell Mays Jackson that I listen. And I get my food from this broadcast. And I'm looking to him. Stay true to God. Listen, somebody needs you tonight. I don't know who they are, but they need you. Stay true to the Lord. And then the enemies of God prosper. Brother, when you're not true to God, they prospered when old Samson went back on God. And he lost his power. Many converts came, but notice in the last place. How did he know that his power was back? You say, Brother Mays, how did he know? He knew it three ways. First of all, he knew because he felt out of place in that devil-ridden crowd. Listen, my Bible tells me that we're not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And we're not to sit in the seat of the scornful. If you're saved, let me tell you something. I got my car. Or the one God loaned me. It's not mine. It's God's. I don't like to be around a joke-telling, cursing crowd. And I feel evil. Oh, listen, I have just spasms every time I get around the crowd, and they don't love Jesus. But you say, who do you like to be around? I like to be around some little old mother in a church when she begins to wave her hand to her and say, I see waves of glory for the things. I like to be around a crowd that prays. I like to be around a crowd that bleeds an old-time religion. You say, well, I don't like it. Well, bless God, don't get my way. I like it. I like to get into the good old things of God. That's my crowd. Now, I want to tell you something. For 5 minutes, don't you go out that door. Because if you do, you'll misquote me. For 25 years or more, I preached against going to picture shows. I preached against it. And here about 5 years ago, I went home and I said, you ever been to Hendersonville, North Carolina? I know some of you have. Down Main Street, the Carolina Theater's on the left. I used to go there and I was a little boy before I was Christian. I went home and I said, now, Lord, I've been preaching against this, but nobody won't see me. And I'm going to show. And I got out my money and I went up and went in 5 years ago. I said, ticket, want one, please. She gave me a ticket and I got it. I went in, this little man in a red suit, and he took it and tore it to pieces, handed me back half, and I said, is it ours to go to the balcony? He said, yeah. I thought, well, nobody won't see me if I go there. And I stood up there, and I sat down, and I said, whew, I'll get to enjoy this show. I know I'll be here, but I get to enjoy the show. I'm glad, Lord, and nobody knows I'm here. And about that time, a fellow right in front of me turned around and said, hello, Brother Mays. I said, brother! I had 9 heart attacks, and I want to tell you, my heart got to beating faster and faster and faster and faster and faster. And I said, oh, Lord, I know I'll be in the show. I preached against him, and about that time, my wife said, are you coming? Are you getting out of that bed and coming to breakfast, Mays? And I woke up, and I said, oh, Lord, I dreamed I went to the show, honey. I dreamed I bought a ticket, I saw it, and I went upstairs, and I hid, but I said, the Lord had a bloodhound. Oh, let me tell you, if I was that miserable in a dream, see, I didn't know, I just dreamed I went. I dreamed it tore my death. I dreamed I sat in that picture show, and if I nearly had a heart attack in that place, how can you go and sit there and watch one? I want to ask you something. Oh, listen, person, listen. I believe when you're saved, you'll be miserable even in a dream. Hallelujah. When you get around the ungodly, you'll be miserable. Samson was miserable. Number two, he knew because he was willing to take the blame himself. He said, not the soul, it's me. He said, I brought this on Israel, and I caused this thing. Did you know if we have revival? God's people have got to be willing to come and humble themselves down before God and pray. And Samson said, Lord, it's me. And he came and willing to take the blame for all the tragedy. And he took the blame. Now, number three, he knew his power had come back because he was willing to die for one more demonstration. Oh, brother, if you were willing tonight to die for God's power, if you want God's power more than you want that job, that meal, if you want God's power more than you want that Chevrolet sitting out there on that Ford, if you want God's power more than you want the prestige of man, if you want God's power on you more than you want silver and gold, listen, you can have God's power. You can have God's power if you will just get to the place where you'll say, oh God, I'm selling out to Jesus. And I'll pay the price regardless of what others do. Regardless of what others do. I'll pay the price, Lord God. I'll stay at that altar until I'm saturated in the power of God. Brother Hughes Williams, you know what he said? He said to the little boy, he said, take me over to the pillar, son. I could hear him. He said, son, I'm going to die, but I'm going to feel God's fire. God's coming on me, this old blind preacher, one more time before I'm going to feel his fire. Oh, he said, son, God's going to let me pull the pillars down. He said, son, God's power's coming on me one more time. Brother, let me tell you something. When you're willing to die to feel God's power, you're going to have the power. Oh, you say, why, Brother Mays, people in this church are willing to forget the power. Listen, some of you wasn't willing to come up here and pray. How can you expect for God to give his power? He won't do it until we're willing to die out to everything and pay the price in prayer. Three nights this week, I haven't slept but 2 hours or less. You say, why? Trying to get God's power in the service. Oh, you say, preacher, I want the power on me. I want to walk around and say, praise God, and feel the Holy Ghost. As old Brother Mays passes by, he's got the power of the Holy Ghost on him. I was down in Jamaica. I used to go every year. You know, I've been there 7 times. In fact, I used to go to Cuba till Castro took over. And me and him don't get along, so I didn't stop after he took over. But I go to Jamaica. And I remember the last time I was there, it was kind of funny. I went up to English Hotel there in Jamaica. You ever been to Jamaica, Kingston, Montego Bay, Spanish Town, some of these places? I went there. I got off the airplane. I was by myself, loaded down with Bibles and Testaments. And I went over to English Hotel, and the lady said, we're glad to see you back, Reverend. I said, glory to God, I'm glad to be back. Hallelujah. And she said, you're going to have to stay across from a communist. And I said, that's all right. Bless God, I'm a Holy Ghost Baptist preacher. I ain't scared of no communist. And I went up there, and he come out from the door, and he'd take his Tommy gun, and he'd take it. He'd wipe it off, you know, and shine it up. I got my Bible. I went out. Hallelujah! He looked at me. I didn't care. I went out one time, he had his radio, and I said, what are you trying to get? He said, I'm trying to get Havana. I said, you're trying to get Havana? He said, yeah, I want to hear about Castro. He said, what was that in there a while ago? I heard you playing radio. I said, no, I was praying. He said, well, what are you doing? I said, I'm trying to get in touch with him. Oh, I said, it's bad to get in touch with heaven and it's today, brother. He said, you better not have bothered me while you're here. I'll kill you. I said, you won't kill me, brother. I said, you even look cross-eyed at me, and I said, God will strike you dead. You better leave this man alone. I said, oh, he got scared. So he went down in Kingston. You ever been to Kingston? He's out there in the park where they're preaching. And he's out there talking for communism. Here's what he said. He said, I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, he said, communism will put a new coat on you. And I jumped up and I hollered, wait a minute. He said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to tell him something better than that. He said, what do you mean? He said, communism will put a new coat on a man. I said, Jesus will put a new man in the coat, hadn't he? Yeah. Glory to God. I said, God. I said, God will take care of me, son. And God, boy, that old fellow couldn't understand me. But I preached every night out in the inlands. And there's a little crippled girl. She's barefooted. She walked like this. She'd come. And she broke rocks all day for the government, the Jamaican government. You know how much she got a week? A shilling. You know how much a shilling is? It's a British currency, or in the terms of the way the British have their currency. You know what a shilling is? It's 14 pence. And she worked 6 days for 14 pence, breaking rocks. And she'd come every night. I'd see her come into church. And then the last night I got through preaching. And she came up and she said to Brother Mays, I said, hey, have you read the Bible? A watch. Well, what it is, here's this watch. So I gave me this watch. It cost $150. I got one of the last few years, 2 weeks ago, it cost $280. And so you say you don't have to buy them? No. Long as the Lord gives me, you don't have to worry so much. I told my wife, little girl came down. She dragged her leg. She said, Brother Mays, I want something you got. I said, you did. She said, yeah. I thought she wanted a watch. I'd have given it to her. I thought she wanted my red Bible. I'd have given it to her. I thought she'd want what money I had. Didn't have much, but I had some shillings and a couple of pounds. And that's her curtain. And I'd give her all I had. And she said, I don't want your watch. And Brother Mason, I don't want it. I don't want your Bible. I think it's a pretty red Bible, but I don't want it. And she said, Brother Mason, I don't want your pound. I don't want your shillings. I said, what do you want? She said, you tell the preacher, let me show you my side. And I said, all right. I said, how old are you? She said, I'll be 14, my birthday. Preacher said, all right, Mace, I want you to see your side. She took and pulled back her dress here, where it opened. And there the wool
out there eating and pouring her all into this little girl. And then she fixed her little dress back. She said, Brother Mason, she said, the pastor here knows that I come over the hill to hear the gospel. And I have ever since I was a little girl when I trusted Jesus. And I'd heard those wolves. I'd been out in the Jeep with the missionaries. And you'd hear them over there in the cave where the pirates used to hide their liquor when they came to Jamaica. And here's what they'd sound. And they all such terrible sounds you've never heard. And I'd heard them. And I said, well, God bless you, young girl. I said, what happened? She said, the wolves one night tore my side and stomach open. We didn't have a hospital. My mother came after the men beat the wolves off. And my mother took a needle and thread and sewed me up and prayed over me, Brother Mays, and God healed me. And I've been coming to church ever since. And I said, God bless you. I said, you don't want the watch? It's nice. I said, it's good. $150. That'd be $500 to make the money. She said, no. I said, the Bible? She said, I said, it's a Scofield. I said, do you want it? She said, no. I want you to lay your hands on me, Brother Mays. And I want you to ask God to let the power that rests upon you fall on my little life. And she said, if God will do that, I won't want anything else. I don't want no new dresses. I don't want no watches. I don't want no Bibles. All I want is the power of God. And she knelt and I said, I can't do that. She said, please, Brother Mays, I want you to do it. I want you to lay your hands on my head. And I said, all right. I lay my hands on that little girl's head. And I said, oh, God, let your power rest upon this little girl. When I finished praying, she looked up and she said, Brother Mays, I've never felt as good in all of my life. She said, I'm not afraid now. Praise the Lord. She said, I'm going home and testify to those that said they'd kill me. And I'm going to break rock tomorrow. And I'm going to tell them that Jesus has got his power on me. I'm not afraid. And I saw her. And she started to wait. She said, Brother Mays, you're leaving tomorrow. And I said, yes, I'll catch the airplane down at the airport in Houston. Yes, tomorrow we'll leave early in the morning. Go down to Houston, catch the airplane back to Miami, and then back home. And she said, Brother Mays, I want you to know when you get on the airplane in the morning, as I break those rocks, I'll be praying for you. And said, next week when you're preaching, Brother Mays, I'm going to be praying for you. And she said, Brother Mays, now on, I remember the other day, I'll ask God's power to rest upon you when you're preaching. And that little girl started out of that old clay tabernacle while I was preaching. They didn't have any. They didn't love clay. She was dragging up the leg. And I said, preacher, wait a minute. I'm going to follow her. And I ran behind her. I walked outside. I waited till she got halfway up the hill. If you've ever been to Jamaica. Oh, beautiful, beautiful coconut trees, banana trees, prettiest moon that ever shines in Jamaica in the tropics. And I saw her going up over the hill, and the wolves said, and I stood there, and I said, oh, Lord, tonight might be another night. We'll attack that little girl. She must have heard me. She turned around in the moonlight, took her little handkerchief, and waved and said, bye, Brother Mays! Said, don't worry. I'm not afraid of the wolves. She said, the Lord's on me now. I got the fire. Said, he and the wolves can't bother you when you got the fire on you. She said, Brother Mays, don't worry. The wolves can't bother you when you got the fire on you. And she dragged that little leg across the hill. I stood there in the street in front of the tabernacle. Tears ran down my cheeks. And I said, Lord, oh, what could we do if we had the power on us in America? Oh, God, what could we do? Samson lost that power and paid the price. Don't lose it tonight. Don't let the devil make a laughing stock out of you. Every head bowed, every eye closed, all of our hearts.
Brother Cliff, I know you enjoyed the good singing tonight. My, when we see Jesus, that's all in the world that we'll ever want. A fellow said to me in Atlanta, said, Brother Mays, don't you want to get to heaven? Walk on those streets of gold? I said, no, sir. I want to get to heaven to see Jesus. If I have to stand in mud knee deep, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Just to look on his face. The one that saved me by his grace. Amen. Oh, I tell you, that ought to make a Presbyterian shout. Did you know that? Think about seeing the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his glory, his majesty, mine. I'm so glad that one day these eyes shall behold him. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. said, "Are you going to shout? I'm going to shout before I get there." That's right. I'm not going to wait till I get there to do shouting. Bless God, I'm going to shout before I get there. Man said to me, he said, "Brother Mays, you believe in heaven after you die?" I said, "I believe in some heaven before you die." I got a little heaven to go to heaven in, you see. And we can enjoy the blessings of the Lord. I tell you, it's getting gooder and gooder and sweeter and sweeter around here. And I'm glad. So we're glad you're with us tonight. God bless you. Somebody said, "This is the devil's night." No, it's the Lord's night. Ever since God saved me, I've always looked for Saturday night to get ready for Sunday, the Lord's day. And it's good that we can be here tonight. I enjoyed the good singing. I don't have but one little chorus that I can sing. And I don't sing it now like I used to. But I can't sing like Brother Sam and like these others, Brother Smith and these. But my little song goes like this. "I'm under the spout where the glory comes out. That'll always remain where there's plenty of rain. The spout where the glory comes out." And I'm glad we can rejoice and sing and have a good time together. Now we pray God's blessing. I tell you, if it didn't do anything for you, it's done something for me. All these good hours of prayer. But I'll tell you what we need. Amen. We need 24 more hours of prayer before the services tomorrow. So here's what I'm not going to make you come to church, but I want 24 people to tell me, "Brother Mays, before tomorrow morning in Sunday school time, I'll pray an hour." You pray it when you get home. You pray it in the morning. You can set your clock and get up. I don't care when you pray it. We need 24 more hours of prayer. And I want 24 people to say, "Preacher, I'll pray an hour." That's not much, is it? Oh, my. We think about how little we pray. Of course, some of you will be glad when I get in my car and start home. Some of you say, "Lord, that preacher prayed us to death around here this week." But, amen. Why, you looking good. Why, you may look a little tired. But next week, I'll be in Hendersonville, by the way, where Brother Marshall lives, where I was reared. And I hope Thursday or Friday night, all of you can get your cars together and come up to Hendersonville, Ebenezer Baptist Church. We'd love to have you. I used to attend that church before I was a Christian, many, many years ago. That is a great church. And, oh, if you don't believe in shouting, you better not come. My, it gets foggy around there and it gets run out. They said to me, "Should, what do you do when it gets run out?" I said, "Get it behind them, hallelujah. What do you do?" Yeah. Amen. But here you come. We'll have a good time. I understand some are coming up next week. And we hope you'll come and let's have a good time in the Lord there in Hendersonville. And then I'll be in Danville, Virginia the next week, and Chattanooga the next week, and over in Martinsville, Virginia the next week, and so on, right on up till Christmas, the Lord willing. Every week, just about it, just going every week, having a good time, shouting the victory and praise of the Lord. Somebody said, "Don't you get tired?" No, not much, hallelujah. My Bible says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Amen. Mount up with wings like eagles. Run and not grow weary. Walk and not faint. Aren't you glad you're saved? Amen. It's good. So I tell you what, I want 24 people right quick. I'll be the first one. I need 23 more. Say, "I'll pray an hour." Let's get these 24 and get them out of the way. All right. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Got a half of them over there. We need 12 on this side. Now, you don't have to be a member of the church. Pray an hour. My, if you call yourself a Christian, you'll be glad to pray an hour. Hallelujah. All right, let's get them. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I got 9. I need 3 more. All right. 10. Amen. I need 3. 2 more. All right. Thank you, ma'am. I need 2 more. Say, "All right. Thank you, Brother Sam." Now, listen. While you're praying for the service here tomorrow, pray for all these other services. All right, amen. Now, that gets us 24. Let's get one on the devil. Who'll be one? Give us one. All right, amen. Amen. Brother said he's going to pray 2 hours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's funny, last night we was back here, and the Lord really was blessing back here in the prayer room. And Brother Cable's Lord, boy, he got the Spirit, and he was just a praying. And it really was good. I'll tell you what's true. He just about get ready to quit. And I'd jump up and hit him on the back and holler, "Glory!" And he'd start out to pray again. Hallelujah. And, oh, God, good. Hallelujah, it was good. And then he'd wind back down, just get about near the truth. I'd jump up and hit him on the back and holler, "Glory!" He'd start out again, hallelujah. And after a while, I thought, well, I better quit doing that. They're going to pray the poor fellow to death. But we've had a good time, and I really enjoyed it. You know, these have been good days, haven't they?